This is the WMEX Fireside Radio Network. Thinking of buying a new home? Our friends at Exit Seacoast Realty can help. Call Morella McDonough at 978-412-8220. From getting you pre-approved to financing, we can help you find the right home for you and your family. 978-412-8220. Exit Seacoast Realty. Reinventing real estate.
Do you need a few laughs after a tough week? Then why not stop by Dick Doherty's Comedy Den? For over 26 years, Dick Doherty's Comedy Den has been one of Boston's premier comedy clubs, featuring national headliners and Boston's next super talents. Dick Doherty's Comedy Den is Boston's only full-service comedy club, featuring great food, drinks, and shows at great prices. Dick Doherty's Comedy Den is located just below Howl at the Moon. You can find it at 184 High Street, directly across from Rose Wharf in Boston. Check out our website at dickdoherty.com or give us a call at 800-401-2221. Dick Doherty's Comedy Den. Why not stop by for a few laughs? Remember, you have to be 18 or older to get in.
Gonna snow, WMEX Channel 1510.
You're listening to Fireside with Jim and Nancy on the WMEX Fireside Radio Network.
Well, it is going to snow. Maybe not so much today, but they're calling for another 6 inches to a foot by Sunday evening into Monday. But we live in New England and we are hardy individuals and we can take it. Michael, could you tell us about your decision to give up all as a ski bum in Aspen and venture to the Inside Passage in Alaska and live there alone, which I find incredible, for 18 months?
Well, you know, it all started with my mom. And thank goodness, when I was a little boy, 6, 7 years old, my mother would read me to sleep every night. Mm-hmm. And she said that even when my eyes were closed and my chest was going up and down and I was sleeping, she kept reading. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been proven if you want to learn a different language, you leave the tape on all night, because I think our subconscious is never asleep. And she read me all those great classic books like Ivanhoe and, you know, Moby Dick. And one night she started reading Jack London all the while. And why that particular book resonated to this day, I really don't know, being that young and being in a big urban city like Cleveland, Ohio. And then later in life, I had a film revival. I saw a Robert Redford movie called Jeremiah Johnson,
Great
about a mountain man in the late 1800s who goes up to live in the Rocky Mountains, didn't know a thing, and, you know, how he survived, learned from the native people. And with the seeds of Jack London already planted, and then coming out of that Jeremiah Johnson movie, I kind of said to the universe, where can I have that today? In our modern era, is there a place left on earth where you can just immerse yourself in adventure and nature, you know, where nature's more, man is less? Be careful what you ask for. 2 months later, I'm living on a wilderness island in the most beautiful section of North America, they call the Inside Passage.
And the universe always sends back, because Nancy and I are devotees of that. When you throw something out, you better watch out what you're throwing out, because you get it back. And sometimes in space.
Well, you know, that is kind of a cliche, but thoughts are things. And we are electromagnetic in our, you know, our being.
Right.
And when you put something out there with pure intent, the universe listens. And it will kick it back at you, whether you're ready or not.
Yes, absolutely. We practice that. And I've done it. Nancy's done it. And it does work, you know. You just throw it out there, and if you really want it, you'll get it. Sometimes you might get a little more than you bargained for, but you'll get it. It's all on the universe.
And you know what, you guys, I'm learning along with this, and as you know, there's no accidents in life.
Nothing.
So how do I get from Aspen, Colorado, like, to this wilderness island? Well, one day, routine day, I'm at a design conference where people came from all over the world to swap ideas, international designers. And they go, okay, we're going to take a lunch break. everybody go out in the meadow, and we're going to watch hang gliders come down off the top of Ajax Mountain and land at your feet. So there's 1,000 people packed together, and we're all milling around, kind of spinning circles with our heads back, watching these human kites. And I bumped into a back. But why didn't I bump into the back 6 inches to the left or a foot to the right?
That's true.
I bumped into a back. Beautiful woman, French-Canadian from Vancouver, fell in love, never been to the West Coast, stuck out my thumb, hitchhiked to California, all the way up to Vancouver, 2 weeks on a Genevieve sailboat in this inside passage. Killer whales are escorting us. Bears are pulling salmon out of the streams. And I'm due to go home, and the man that owns this wild island called Genevieve, and the three of us went out for dinner. And that's very rare for a guy to have another guy come along.
Mm-hmm.
And Genevieve was ignored. Will and I hit it off.
That's great.
Come and see me. I got to go. My island is 200 miles north and 100 years back in time.
Wow.
And, you know, we all have reasons why we can't do things. Oh, I got bills to pay. Mm-hmm. I got to get back to my job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Chinese food. And the waiter brought, at the end, 2 fortune cookies. Because Will had gone by that point. I opened mine and said, you're going on a journey to an exotic land.
Wow.
Like, pay attention. Do you need a hammer to hit you over the head?
Right. Always follow the path.
I believe there's angels on earth. There's women, there's people that come into our lives. Maybe they don't stay long, but they're emissaries. They put us on our life path. They introduce us to a spouse. They're sort of connectors.
It is amazing, isn't it? You know, you talk as beautifully as you write.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
Thank you so much.
When we talked before, I said that Pat Conroy, who's probably one of my favorite writers, said you were a fabulous writer. So, and you write, I mean, and you talk the same
I'm
way.
I'm honored coming from you guys. I really mean that.
Thank you. So tell us about, well, Bill, is Bill the man that, he taught you some things when you first got there. Is that true? Is that his name?
Will Meloff.
Will.
The man that originally owned the island. What a phenomenal human being. He was a master of the mind, of hypnosis. He not only healed himself of cancer, but people knew about him, and he kind of had to work off the grid because of criticism from the medical community, because his results were instantaneous and no drugs. And he taught me so much about the power of the mind. And right, one of Will's favorite sayings comes from William James, a very famous psychologist. And James was all about human potential. And James said that we as human beings lead lives inferior to ourselves, that we only live a small part of this colossal life we've been given. And Will was able to tap into, I'd say 110%. Of his mental powers and healing powers, just a phenomenal human being.
Can you hang on a little bit? You don't have to hang on because our entertainment reporter is about to come on, George Fennell, and he's going to review whatever he does is fabulous.
George Fennell is the consummate entertainer. George Fennell is our entertainment reporter. George Fennell is an icon in the Boston area for many, many years, been on many television stations and radio stations, and every week he brings us a little tidbit or two.
Can I listen?
Sure.
You'll be able to hear.
Oh, wow.
You can probably even talk.
You can even talk to him if you have a question.
Okay. George, good morning.
Oh, no, I just want to listen.
Okay.
Okay.
Good Thanks, morning, Michael. George.
Good morning, Jim and Nancy and Julie and Michael. Is it Modzelewski or Modzelewski?
Modzelewski.
Yeah, sometimes the W is pronounced like that.
And his father was a famous football player, right?
Yeah. Hey, fabulous stuff. So interesting. The stuff about the malaria and hallucinations, that is so interesting radio. It's the best. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for being here. And anytime you give us that kind of a compliment, it really means a lot. We're flattered because you are the consummate broadcaster.
Well, thank you, but let's get right to work.
Sure, go ahead.
We talked about the Oscars last week, right, Nancy?
Yes, we did.
I picked out the best actress for Oscars. I may or may not be right, but today it's time to look at the best actor. Incidentally, that was Julianne Moore for her great performance in Still Alice. But today we're looking at the best actor for Oscar, February 22nd. Don't forget that. The nominees are, we'll do this quick, Steve Carell as a dark horse for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper playing Chris Kyle in American Sniper. He's lately gotten a lot of buzz for his acting performance. And for the box office for this, yes, American Sniper is out of the, really, off the grid. Benedict Cumberbatch for his Imitation Game about the brilliant mathematic professor who broke the code. Eddie Redmayne, another bio about Stephen Hawking and the theory of everything, but we are going to pick the best actor, and it's Michael Keaton. You say Michael Keaton made the role of Rigon Thompson his own. If it hadn't belonged to him for the very start, Keaton gives a frenetic kitchen sink performance as the washed-up movie star and former superhero, portraying a fellow who's hell-bent on rebranding himself as a legitimate stage actor. In complex scenes of grueling length, the actor who once was Batman delivers lines with the same syncopated percussiveness as the film's jazz drum soundtrack. It's a technical feat and an artistic one, says reviewer Keith Stanswisk. I can't imagine I'd do another film that was in as much detail as this one, said Michael Keaton. Fun fact, he will be the third Keaton with the Oscar after Buster and Diane Keaton. He'll also be the third Batman actor to win an Oscar, joining George Clooney and Christian Bale. Come on, Val Kilmer. Get on with the program.
Yes.
Great. Birdman is the movie. Michael Keaton. He was Batman, and now he's kind of doing the same old thing. Kind of playing himself in a way. But now he wants to be on Broadway. Will it work? Who knows? Will the Oscar go to Michael? I think it will. Best actor, Oscar. Nancy, I have some fast news for you.
Oh, I'm listening.
Your friend Chris Pratt, who I know you
I do.
You know he's the Hasty Pudding Man of the Year. He's going to get the pudding pot.
Right.
He will be the new Indiana Jones, Disney.
Oh, Nancy's totally thrilled.
Nancy, he'll do part two of Guardian of the Galaxy. That thing made a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, and you loved it.
Oh, great. Also, the remake of The Magnificent Seven is working on that.
Uh-huh. Oh.
He's also going to be working on a remake of Jurassic Park. So is he hot or what?
He's hot.
He's going to be a really important actor in 2015 and way into 16 and 17 because he's really good. See him in Parks and Recreations. You can still see that show where he plays a chubby little guy, but now he's trimmed down and he's a big muscle man. And, hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, step aside.
And you also said he would be People's Sexiest Man of the Year next year.
I think he's going to win it. I think he's going to be, I mean, he's got some competition, James Franco and a few others, but I think Chris Pratt is so hot right now.
He's got my vote.
He's going to zoom right to the top for box office and all kinds of stuff. And he's a little bit of a superhero to the girls.
Especially Nancy.
Oh, shush.
Oh, he's a heartthrob, you know?
He's a heartthrob.
Nancy's a heartthrob for any young guy.
Oh, shush. George, Michael Keaton win the SAG Award? Do you know?
Yes.
He did, yeah. I saw the movie. He was fabulous.
Yeah, I knew he would be. You know, I've always respected him. Going all the way back to his early films, I always thought he was extraordinary in the way he did stuff.
Yeah, he is. And he seems like a nice man. My husband's going to laugh at me because I say people look like a nice man and I'd like to have coffee with him. But I loved
why not, you know.
Yeah, his speech at the Academy Award when he thanked his, he was so emotional over his son. I thought that was fabulous.
Yes. So I'll let you get back to Michael because the show is fabulous today. I want to listen to the rest of it. And Michael, wow, what a life. I'm dying to read anything you write. I'll read. Believe me. Love it.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for that. That was a great segment. Wow.
Thank you, George. You know we love you.
Thank you, Uncle George. Can we see you next week?
Right back at you. I'll be here.
Okay. That's George Fenella, movie critic, right here on WMEX 1510. He's here every weekend with us, and George knows his stuff and puts a lot of homework into it. Michael, you had many incredible experiences while living there, and I'd like you to tell us a few. You were in 30 countries, and you also go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell us about your experiences in Alaska.
Well, I went there knowing nothing. I'd only been camping twice before in my life, city slicker from Cleveland, Ohio. But I was sort of like author in search of my first book, something that I could put my heart into. And I was a freelance journalist at that time, working for L.A. Times, New York Times, going all over the world, starving to death between assignments. And, you know, and rather than doing short journalism, I wanted to do a full-length book. And when I took a sailboat trip with Jean-Vierre, but especially when I was actually there on the island, I mean, every day you could just fill notebooks up with all this new knowledge. You know, I had a kayak. I would go out and get right in the middle of the killer whales that were like, you know, three times longer than my boat. Mm. There's another mind on this planet, and it belongs to them. I mean, they're at the top of the food chain in the ocean. And it really should be called Planet Ocean instead of Earth because, you know, our planet is 71% salt water. Mm-hmm. And they rule the roost out there. They have sonar where they can actually look inside of you with it, almost like a sonogram.
Really?
They send this high-pitched sound, and they can scan you. And if we had that ability, there wouldn't be any politicians. Or I couldn't lie when my wife says, does this dress make me look fat? I mean, you know, because...